It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Putin heads east, but how strong are Russia's economic ties to China? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Russian President Vladimir Putin is on his way to Beijing for talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping and to take part in the Belt and Road Forum. And just a reminder, the Belt and Road Initiative is China's project to tie it economically closer to low-income countries through investments and infrastructure projects. While Russia is losing friends on the world stage, its relationship with China is getting stronger. So the BBC's Steve McDonnell went to the border in northeastern China to see if trade between Russia and China is really booming.
Over the past 100 years, China and Russia have been close allies and also bitter enemies. But in recent years, Beijing and Moscow have found themselves being frozen out on the world stage. So they've turned to one another for support and in an attempt to build something of an alliance against the West. To do this, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping have declared to their people that their countries now have a so-called no-limits partnership. Heading right up to the border, you reach the point where Heilongjiang province is separated from Russia by a river. Here, according to China's state media, the small city of Heihe has experienced a significant recent increase in trade. But when we visit, this doesn't seem to be as healthy as has been claimed. Russia is so close, you could swim across the water to the blocks of flats where Russian people are living, and so you'd think this would be the obvious place to build trade between the two countries. But when you speak to business people on this side of the border, many are saying that actually economic activity between the two communities hasn't been that great lately.
Business isn't good. There aren't enough tourists.
A woman now selling her goods out of the back of a car after the shopping centre where she had a stall closed because of a lack of customers says trade has been flat for years. But even worse recently.
After COVID, the borders haven't been open for long. There aren't enough Russians coming across. They are poor and they are at war.
We did, however, find one group of people who were upbeat about Russia-China trade in Heihe. The truck drivers waiting to enter the riverboat port.
I'm carrying soybeans, wheat and barley, all from Russia, and it's busier than before.
I'm transporting sand and coal from Russia. Others are moving containers with food.
China has been helping out an increasingly isolated Kremlin by piping more Russian natural gas into Heilongjiang. And there are great expectations regarding the potential for cooperation in this region. But realistically, economic links have a long way to go for China's trade with Russia to match what it currently has with many other countries. In Heihe, I'm Stephen McDonnell for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. The British engineering group Rolls-Royce will cut up to 2,500 jobs as part of its global restructuring plans. And European stocks are steady as investors look ahead to US bank results and US consumer data coming out later today. It's been confirmed President Biden would visit Israel tomorrow. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said the US and Israel will develop an aid plan for Gaza civilians. Israel's continuing siege and bombardment of Hamas militants means thousands of people have left their homes, with many heading south towards Egypt. But the border crossing remains closed. The BBC's correspondent in Gaza, Rushdie Abba Alouf, has been finding out why it's been so difficult to get people out of the territory and aid through this key border crossing.
The place has been bombed for the third time, according to local authority here. They show me a footage from the crossing itself, CC camera. The road itself is damaged, so it's not easy to move people from this side to the Egyptian side. Well, the scale of damage I saw is not a great damage, and the local authority here, they said they can repair it fairly quickly, but they are waiting for Egypt to reopen the crossing. I understand from different sources in Doha, in Egypt, and in other places, this negotiation is still fruitless. No progress has been made to allow the humanitarian aid, which Gaza need the most. I'm in Khan Yunis here, in the city where hundreds of thousands of people flee here. The city is overwhelmed by the number of people who are displaced here, which the city is already suffering from a blockade and a lack of fuel, electricity and water.
It was Rushdie Abba Alouf with the buzz of drones in the background. The European Commission is stepping up its attempts at tackling microplastic pollution. As of yesterday, products that are deliberately made with microplastics, like loose glitter and certain cosmetics with microbeads, are banned. That's not all. They also want companies to check for possible leaks when making things with microplastic pellets. Here's the BBC's Katie Silver.
So these are called nurdles. They basically act like the building blocks for most of the world's plastic production. They go into everything from car bumpers, office chairs, water bottles, salad bowls, you name it. But the problem is they leak into the environment at every step of the supply chain. So the Commission estimates that there's between 52,000 and 184,000 tonnes of plastic pellets that are released into the environment in the EU each year. So they're hoping to introduce a number of tougher rules for companies that use the tiny materials. These companies are going to need to conduct risk assessments to make sure that they don't do any spillage, and if they do, the measures that they can take once this happens. Larger companies are going to need these plans verified by independent operators, and they can face sanctions for violations.
The BBC's Katie Silver there. And finally, the big boss of Goldman Sachs has given up his side gig. David Solomon, the CEO of the investment banking firm, stopped being a DJ at events like Lollapalooza because, reportedly, people said inside the firm that it got in the way of his day job. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.